This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, you're listening to Vic and Em, and we are joined by very special guest, Steph Tisdale's here.
G'day.
She's a wonderful comedian. We've got a wonderful comedian in. How do you feel, Emily?
I feel intimidated, to be totally honest.
No, I feel great.
I really did think, like, what's the word that I can use that will really just get Steph offside immediately? You know, that's just how I like to start all interviews. What would I hate? Let me say that.
Sorry, gross was an intense word for me to say that.
No, I feel wonderful. I'm really, really pleased to have you. It's always a pleasure to have wonderful talent come through the studio. We're exceptionally happy to have you here, Steph.
It sounds like it makes me feel weird.
Which,
like,
part? That we're happy?
Why are you so sad? I'm a millennial.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Like, don't... I just struggle with, like, compliments.
Mm-hmm.
But also, comedy is so annoying like that because you have to sell yourself.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And it's like, am I really good? No, am I okay? You know what I mean? Like, you got to sell yourself. But
I think I'm good. People seem to receive me well sometimes.
It's so hard walking that line between, like, yes, I am validating my own talent, yeah, and no, I'm not full of myself. Yeah.
Although it's so weird because I don't even know why we're scared to be, like, the idea of being full of ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like, man, how much better would the world be if everyone was like, yeah, this is my skill set. I'm not going outside of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's what I do.
Like, back me.
Because
I back me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think definitely in Australia especially, that's like such a big thing.
We are the inventors of tall poppy syndrome. Like,
we just can't be like, hey, you're so good at that thing.
And you go,
Yeah. Speaking of, though, Steph, you are so good at that thing, which is comedy. You are a fantastic comedian. Honestly, so very, very funny.
It's
every
true.
Single time it's I true. See you perform, I'm like, God damn, she's done it again.
But do you know what bugs me?
Mm.
Is that all that I want is for people to go, she's intelligent. And then I'm like, boobs. Gingers. You know, like, and then I go, I'm, damn it.
But you are intelligent because you know what makes people laugh.
That's true, though.
It's true.
You've tapped into that. That's a talent. I actually have a question regarding that.
Mm.
I mean, you've been killing it lately.
Mm.
How did you start? What was your...
Oh, my God. I got dared to do it.
No way.
Yeah, so I was living by this mantra of why not, and it's radio so you can't see it, but I've got a tattoo of a snowman saying why not?
It's radio.
But it's... I was basically trying to be a yes person. Like,
sure.
I just, after Yes Man came out, because I have a lot of anxiety issues. I mean, who doesn't?
Yay,
we're millennials.
Yeah, all of us do.
And I was really struggling, and I was, like, really unhappy at uni. And so in the holidays, I went traveling on my own, and I was like, I'm going to live by this, you know, this mantra of being a yes person. And then I randomly ended up in Leeds in the middle of the night one night. And had a conversation.
You just woke up in the middle of the night?
No,
I'm in Leeds now.
No, I was staying with a friend who turned out to be a bleep head.
Mm-hmm. That was very good censoring.
Thank you so much.
Big into that.
She was such a bleep head, and she was the biggest bleeping bleep. And she says to me, right, when I rocked up, she goes, we're walking around the campus. I was staying with her at a uni, and she's like waving to people, and I said, look at she, what's she popular around here? And she goes, I'm a bit of a B-knock. And I was like, sorry, what's a B-knock? And she goes, big name on campus. And I was like,
Oh no. And you'd never got that sense from her before?
Literally not.
That's crazy. That's wild.
It's yeah,
closeted.
It was B-knock. Really strange.
Yeah.
It was really strange, but she was from, like, old money. Like, she was super posh.
Yeah. Right.
And she went to this really posh university, and I was like,
All of the puzzle pieces are coming together.
Mm. And we were hating each other's company. Like, it's so obvious. We're not having a good time. I was sleeping on her floor.
Oh.
But she had one set of keys, and she would go to uni, and I was locked in her tiny door.
How long were you staying with her for?
Like, originally I was going to be staying there for a couple of weeks, but I stayed there for a couple of days, and then I was like, she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I have things coming up. And I was like, okay, I'll leave. Like, yeah, bye. Obviously. And then, but it sucked because at the time, campus internet went down. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a lot of money and I had no credit on my phone.
Right? No, like,
what am I going to do and where am I going to go? So I just said to her, this changed my whole life, right? Because I said to her, can you just call me a cab? And she was like, you're a cab. And I was like, no, I'm kidding. Anyway, that's one of my favourite dad jokes. Thank you. I just had to wedge it in there. She calls this cab for me. I rock up at the... I just said to the cab driver, take me to the train station. I get to the train station. I'm like, whatever. I go, look, mate, next train anywhere. I don't care where. Just
take me away.
I was like, just don't tell me where I'm going. It'll be a surprise. And then, serious.
I love this. No, I'm laughing because I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And as somebody who used to have like 5 panic attacks a day and like heavily medicated, it was like.
Yeah, this is a huge, I would not be able to do this.
But you know what was crazy about it? Like, so I ended up running to the platform and I ended up on a train to Leeds, and the whole time I was so ecstatic. Like, looking back, it was probably just adrenaline.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, I don't feel anxious, I feel good about this. And then I ended up in Leeds, I had nowhere to stay, so, and obviously no internet, no phone credit. Mm-hmm. So I got into a cab there, and like the train station guy called me a cab. He was like, you're a cab. Sorry. Call back. I'm sorry. I got into a cab and I was like, hey, can you take me to, accommodation that's under this amount? Ended up in this place quite late at night. And this woman's like, take your stuff upstairs and then come back down. I need to talk to you. And I'm like, come on.
Oh, just got here. Come on.
Talk to me about what?
Exactly.
That's terrifying. Am I in trouble already?
Exactly. So my heart's beating fast. I'm like, this is the worst. What did I choose here?
Yeah.
But have no fear.
Okay.
Because when I came back downstairs, she goes, big smile. What's your story? And I went, what do you mean by what's my story? And she goes, whatever comes to your mind first, that's the story you've got to tell, and I can tell that you've got something you need to tell me.
What?
And
that's beautiful.
I just got goosebumps. Crazy. That's so magical.
It was magical.
Yeah.
And we stayed up talking until 4 in the morning. She was the owner of the bed and breakfast, and she was like, you know, I'm only 30, but I've lived in 7 different countries in my life.
Wow.
She was Hungarian, and she said, any time that you get an opportunity, you should only ever say, why not? Like, we always think about the what's happened or the what's happening, and we never are present in a moment enough to just say yes.
It's so nice. I love this story.
Yeah. And so then after that, and because this was what I was like, oh, I want to be a yes man, but was really struggling with it, I went, you know what, bugger it. I'm going to go and get a tattoo of why not, because then at least I can put my own parameters on it.
Yeah, that's really nice.
And then, and so I got the tattoo, and then for the rest of the trip, everybody who I'd meet, I'd go, let's do something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it doesn't kill me, seriously injure me.
Put me in jail.
Get me arrested or have me doing hard drugs.
Yep.
I'll do it. And then that culminated
it's
in
It's good
somebody,
to know your boundaries, isn't it?
Did you just throw shuckers while you said
you
it's
did
good
say
to
that.
Know your boundaries? Yep. What is happening?
But then it culminated in somebody.
Let me be me.
Why not? Throw that shuckers. Do what you need to do.
I didn't know what they were called until recently. Somebody shuckers, was like, that person's doing shuckers. And I was like, is this cultural?
It's a habit that I've formed that I cannot stop doing.
No, I love it. I'm kidding.
Anyway, I'm sorry for... Yeah.
No. Yeah, so then somebody dared me to do stand-up. They said, I think you're really funny, you should just stand-up. And I was like, no way. You can get me to do anything else. And they were like, it's not going to kill you. And I was like, fine.
Not going to get you arrested unless you say something really bad.
Really, really bad.
And then I just rocked up at a random place in Dublin. And
so it wasn't even
chair.
In Australia when you did your first gig?
No.
That's wild.
And then maybe 6 months later, I did one spot in Brisbane, and then maybe I used to go watch open mic.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Every single...
I run an open mic room, I can say it.
I love it. It's like addictive. I used to watch it every single week, once or twice a week, and just watch what was good and what wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did maybe 2 more spots over the space of a year. So I wasn't really doing it. I was just doing it. My friends were like, and you should have a go. And I'm like, okay. And then quite by accident, entered Deadly Funny because my cousin worked for NITV and she's like, oh, I forgot to organise an interview. Do you want to just get up so I can interview you?
That's great.
Because we lived together, right?
That's actually so serendipitous.
It is. This is the thing. This is why I love comedy, because I'm like, I'm not making any of these decisions. Somebody's throwing someone's me down that path. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But that's, don't you think, I mean, this is very controversial between Vicky and I, but I believe everything happens for a reason.
Well, let me cross the let me bring those two things together.
Right.
Because I never know what I think of this as far as fate, right? But what I do know for a fact is that after the fact, the human brain, just the psychology of the, you know, standard human brain will always attribute meaning.
Of course.
And reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we will always have a lesson to gain from something because the brain works best when it's looking in hindsight, right? So regardless of whether it happens retroactively or retrospectively, you could technically say that there is a reason for everything, even if the reason is just that you make a reason afterwards.
Sure.
Right?
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of somewhere in between both.
It is.
Yeah. That's a nice little happy medium for Vic and I.
Oh, look at that. That's beautiful. Bringing us together.
If you've just tuned in, you're on Joy 94.9. It's Vic and I. I'm talking to Steph Tisdale.
Hey.
We've been actually just diving into a lot of different things.
Great.
It's been absolutely phenomenal. Steph, you are about to, I guess, do like a whole Australia tour of Baby Beryl, which is your new show. Tell it. You're already laughing. The show's got you laughing, so I'm sure it'll get other people laughing.
It's literally every time I hear Baby Beryl. It's like, I was just laughing one time about, like, Baby Sharon. I was just imagining, because my friend was pregnant. She's like, what should I name it? And I was like, Sharon? And I was like, nah, man, I can't even imagine. I just can't imagine.
A baby named Sharon.
A baby named Sharon.
Yeah.
But then, like, then I was on live on Facebook on my comedy page, and the names people were putting out, I was just crying with laughter. Somebody said Baby Trish, and I was like, I'm done.
Oh, yeah. The only Trish I know, or the only Trishes I know, are people my age as mums.
Yes.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's a certain type that gets called Trish instead of Trisha.
That's true. Actually, that's true.
And then calling a baby Trish. Then me and my friend got really, like, obsessed with baby names and found out that Beryl has gone almost completely extinct.
Oh, wow.
Really?
So yep. Because it's people's grandmas and stuff like that, great grandmas that are named Beryl these days.
2004 was the last time there was a Beryl.
No way. Wow. Yeah,
which means there's a 15-year-old Beryl getting around.
Oh, God, that does mean
we need to find 15-year-old Beryl.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be the entire point of this show.
Right.
That would have been amazing.
But there has been a revelation that you will only find out after
in the show. Ooh, sizzle.
Gosh,
I love some sizzle.
That makes everyone need to see that show. Well, where is Baby Beryl?
I don't know. Vic Hotel, I think.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I never know stuff like that. So my mum goes, oh, you're going to be, are you in town this week? I'm like, I haven't even checked my calendar. She'll be like,
someone does that for me.
I just get on trains to anywhere and hope for the best.
No, I'm so bad at, like, I get really confused by calendars. I think I've got, like, numbers.
Dyscalculia? That's what I've got.
Yes,
I've got it.
Do you struggle with calendars too?
Yeah, calendars, clocks, math in general, everything.
Oh, my God. So I'm all right at maths, sort of, but, like, maps, calendars, and clocks.
Maps I can do, but calendars and clocks, they're a bit.
Calendars really overwhelm me, so I go, just tell me what I need to do today.
Yeah.
And then that's fine. And then I can look at it and look at it as the separate bits. But if I just see a calendar, I'm like, oh, what is that? I don't know who I am or where I am.
Yeah, I'm okay with, like, maps and directions, but that's, like, the only thing out of the list of things that's the only thing that I am okay at.
That is amazing. Yeah. I've never met anybody else with it before.
Yeah, really, no,
what a beautiful moment that we've created here on radio.
I love it.
That's really nice.
If people text in, there'll be heaps of people going, that's what I have.
Oh, my God, I've got that.
Yeah. Snap, I've got that too.
Like, I really struggle. I can't ever, I'm always, this is better because I'm always early to places.
Yes.
Because I have no idea, I can't judge time properly. Whereas, so
it's I'm either like an hour early or an hour late.
Well, I just
think about how long something's going to take.
Because of the anxiety, I'm never late.
Yeah.
Because I always overcompensate, and I'm always like super early to places because I'm like, it'll take so long, and then it's like 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh,
this is like
cool.
I hate walking.
Yeah.
Like, more than anything, I hate walking. I would rather run than walk. I just it is the slowest.
You had me until then.
But I hate running, so I really hate walking. It is the slowest way to get around it. Everything about it makes me angry. It's just, it's slow, and it still makes me puffed because I'm big anyway. Like, if I'm going to be puffed,
I may as well get there quicker.
There's nothing relaxing about it.
That's actually super logical. Yeah. Like, I really
I get it. I can't stand it. And then when I was in Perth, I was performing around the corner and I was like, all right, I don't want to walk there every night. I'm scared at night. All right, I don't want to walk there. It's going to take me too long. In my mind, I was like, it's going to take me 15 minutes to walk there every day or 20 minutes, you know, whatever. So I hired a bike and then I realised my apartment, like, I'd walked it and it just hadn't clicked. But then when I got the bike, I was like, man, I'm less than 100 metres away. And I spent like $150 on a bike just because I didn't want to walk 100 metres.
Oh. I mean, I get
That's commitment to the bit, for sure, absolutely. Yeah.
And then I was saying to somebody, like, oh, how long does it take to get home? And I was like, literally 10 seconds. No exaggeration.
Literally.
there was a job recently going in what are they called? Stationery company that is at the bottom of my building, and they're after a graphic designer, which is like my day job.
Ooh.
And I was like, how lazy do I have to be to apply for a job literally downstairs from my house?
I think that's
smart.
Yeah, exactly. That's like maybe the most sensible thing you could possibly do.
Could you apply?
Well, it's a full-time job and I don't have the time to do a
She's above it.
No, I just because I've got the comedy stuff as well. I can't do two full-time jobs.
It's true.
It would kill me.
Yeah, truly would. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Vic and Em chatting to Steph Tisdale, wonderful comedian, exceptional human.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
We're big fans.
We really truly are.
Now, Steph, we usually ask people their best and worst gig stories. Mm-hmm. Is there something that springs to mind? It could be the best or the worst. You can decide.
I love hearing the worst ones, but I'll
Vicky
hear the
is
best.
A pessimist, so she does love to hear the worst ones.
No, I just
I've got two worst ones.
Great.
For two different reasons. I remember a couple of years ago getting a racist heckle.
Cool. Oh, no. Always good. Great.
And it was so awkward because the audience, they freak out. Like, they cringe and their little assholes pucker. Sorry, that's probably...
I mean, it's very...
Oh, you're allowed to say
that. Their little bleep holes pucker. And, and you could just watch them like, I don't know what to do. And then I felt like, okay... And I refuse to make a joke out of anything that is racial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to be like, you're white. You know, like...
Yeah.
And so I was like... Hey, let's discuss why you thought that was appropriate and just turn it into a lecture. And it was so awkward.
I would have, I love that so much to be like, no. Like, you're not getting away with that. Let's go back. Let's talk about
that. But also, the thing I love about that as well is that person knows that they're the reason that everyone else in that room is now having this serious conversation in what was supposed to be a comedy show.
Exactly.
So they know that every single person in this theater is real mad at you.
Yeah.
You know, on many levels as well. Not on the just like, that was really uncalled for and inappropriate, but also like, you've now
ruined the show.
Yeah, well, not. Yeah. I wouldn't say it'll be completely ruined because I'm sure you brought it back, but
No. I just, because I think it's really difficult to be a woman of colour showing anger because that is the biggest stereotype and the biggest thing that gets used against us.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know why you think that was appropriate to do when I'm up here presenting.
Yeah.
I was bent over at the time. I'm sorry, it was just because I said present.
No, if you hadn't have, one of us would have said it. So.
And they called me a cab. You're a cab.
Oh, damn it. I was going to do it.
I'm sorry. and then he got really uncomfortable. He was like an old man. And he's like, oh, that's just how it was when I was younger. And I went, well, I said, you know what? That's outdated for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm glad that you've actually showed us that because now people in the audience can realise how that's hurtful and how that's very disarming. And then afterwards the MC and the runner of the night made him apologise. He had to get up on stage.
Wow.
And apologize to me.
Yeah, I love that.
I think that's really important.
And that's how the night ended. So it was like...
Was it when he did the racist slur, was he... abusing you? Yeah. Or was it, yeah, because he said, like, that's just how it was in my day. But, like, what, you were just allowed to yell abuse at people? Like, whether it was racist or not? Mm.
Well, this is the thing. He didn't say anything to anybody else. So I also started the joke with, like, I started the set with a bit that I used to do about looking like Hagrid. And, and I was setting up for it. So it was a self-deprecating joke. And I said, I looked in the mirror and he said, how do you find a mirror that fits you? And I was like... So it was already like, it was already from the get-go.
Yeah.
He had an issue with whatever I represented.
Yeah.
Because he didn't heckle anybody else all night. And I was up towards the end. So that was like...
I was going to say aggravating. I think that is the right word. But also it's just like sad. Like why anyone would think that that is appropriate behavior in any way, shape or form is absolutely beyond me.
So that was the worst in like... in that way, because you walk away and you go, I don't want to be exposed to this.
Yep.
Like,
that's fair.
It really knocks your confidence around. But the worst in general was I did a corporate recently on a boat in the Sydney Harbour, like a Sydney Harbour Cruise Christmas corporate. And it was,
you can't escape.
Oh, my God. Jump overboard.
It was the worst. Oh. And I was so seasick.
Yep.
And anxious, right? And so I thought, okay, I'll make them get on my side. So firstly, PA system stops working.
Of course it does. So like, of course it does.
So it's like a good area to do comedy upstairs where people could tune in and tune out if they want to.
Yeah.
They go, the PA system isn't working. Nah, we're moving everyone downstairs. I'm like, oh, God. Which was all sitting at formal dinner tables. So they all had to like...
It's the perfect environment for comedy.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's free booze everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it was just... the worst. Mm-hmm. And I get up, the first thing I say is, it was 30 minutes, mind you, 35, sorry. They go, I went, well, you know, you guys are lucky because they specifically asked for somebody who's terrified of the open water and gets very seasick. And here I am.
Here I am.
And I saw a whole table go, oh, that's awful. Like, they didn't realise I was joking. So I was like, yes. I hate them all.
Yeah.
And I did... so badly.
Oh, no.
Like,
for 35 minutes as well.
It was just awful. Oh, God. And then, but then it was funny because I posted it somewhere and somebody was like, yes, I like to call those gigs where you just do ambient comedy.
Yes. They don't care whether you're there
like
or not.
Like elevator music comedy.
Yes. In the background going, please like me.
Man, I'm laughing, but I feel you so hard.
And then when I was leaving, right, the woman was like, thank you so much for taking the time. We know you tried your best. And I was like,
oh, don't say that.
But then a water taxi picked me up and I felt real cool.
Yes. That's like a Bond film kind of situation.
You just blow it up in the background while you just like...
that's all I wanted to do.
Just bye.
I really did bomb.
Oh, my gosh. That, I mean, man, I feel your pain.
See,
so
this is why I like worst gig stories.
Yeah, no, they were
the first
hilarious.
One, not so bad. The first one, not that one. I don't like that one. The second one, hell yes. That's the story.
The water taxi makes it, absolutely.
It does.
Yes.
So that, I mean, you know, look, it happens. We all have bad... Well, I mean, I feel like you crushed it. It was the situation that was bad, you know?
Yeah.
But your show, Baby Beryl, is going to be in all of the major cities, basically. You're going to go to Perth, Adelaide... Melbourne,
no, I've been to
Sydney.
Perth.
Oh, yeah, you've already been, of course.
So off to...
retrospectively. Hope you liked it, Perth.
It's off to Adelaide next. I actually had a lot of really emotional messages after the show.
Really?
So something about the show was connecting to people because I just got really personal. It was really nice.
That's great.
That is really nice.
I love that.
I'm so looking forward to seeing the show.
Yeah, it's going
to
be weird.
It's going to be weird.
It's very weird.
Hell, I love that. I love a weird show as well.
Oh, good. Thank you. For
yes.
That. Oh.
I like a show that makes you feel things, but also like I like a show that has like emotional levels, layers.
Let's be silly, but also let's say some truths.
Yeah. Yes. And I think if they're done effectively, they're the best shows.
Absolutely.
If they're done poorly,
they can be the worst. Yeah.
This is a non-show because it's riffed, and then there's a chat show element to it. But there's a complete reason why it's riffed, and there's a complete reason why there's a chat show element, and those are the only narrative parts of the show are why we're doing things so ad hoc.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
It sounds amazing. I absolutely cannot wait. It will probably be at the Victoria Hotel. We don't know.
If you, you can go to comedyfestival.com.au for all details.
And more information, absolutely.
I should go there.
Thank you so much for joining us, Steph. That was great.
Thank you guys for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. You should check out Steph's online content as well. Like, you can Facebook.
I don't know.
She has Instagram. A website.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just my name, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, perfect.
Steptestel.com.au.
So D-E-L-L.
Oh, yes.
Been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Vic and Em, we'll be back next week with some more fantastic content.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.